And thank you everybody for having us today. So I'm Stéphane Caron, and with me are Étienne Arlot and Valentin Tangeman de Vavasseur, who will show you a live demo on the robots in the end. And so of course with me are Michel Strogoff, the black robot you see here, which is a new upkey, and Cookie, which is the yellow one, which we can talk about afterwards. All right, so before talking about these robots in particular, I wanted to share with you like one point of view on open source robots today. I like open source robots. This is a good place to say that. I'm trying to curate a list of open source robots. If you know some that are not on the list, please feel free to add them there. And I just wanted to kind of take a look back as to why also we are in a better position to do open source robots than we were in the past. Here are a quick view of some of the projects. NASA open sourced a robot under Apache 2.0, which is like a rover that has excellent documentation. There are also educational open source robots, like the robot soccer kit, that are used for education purposes. It's actually quite fun for kids in mid school, for instance, to control these robots in Python. And more recently, there was the OpenDuck Mini, not meant to resemble any particular robot, but it has been heavily reproduced, like more than 50 times, which in my opinion is amazing. And this is a bipedal robot also, a legged bipedal robot. And everything is open source. You can train reinforcement learning policies for it, UV run train, and it will train one for you. It's also very cute, etc. And so I was wondering, so I've been doing robotics for a bit over 10 years now, and I wonder, like, how come we have this kind of Cambrian explosion of open source robots now? Like, how did we get there? How was it, and what changed? And this is just one point of view, but looking back at 10 years ago, so personally, I've been working in academia, and in academia, we were working with very expensive robots. So this humanoid you see here costs north of 300,000 euros. It's expensive, you only have it in the lab, and when you want to operate it, there is a whole process because you don't want to break it, so you have a crane, etc. There were open source softwares already, but the hardware was not open source at all. Then, I think one big change came with Ben Katz's master thesis, who introduced the QDD, what we call now QDD actuators, or the proprioceptive actuators, so the combination of a brushless motor and planetary drivetrain. And it was also fully documented on Ben's blog, which is a great blog to read if you haven't. It's really a pleasure. And it helped reproduce the actuator heavily. Reproduced, including by, I'm going to cite one company because I think they've been doing an amazing job. It's called MJBots. It's an American company, and they do open source motor drivers and also integrated actuators. And so these robots basically were made possible because we could buy the electronics and the actuators from that company and then develop software on top of them. And MJBots does thing open source as well. So the actuators, the C code of the motor controllers you can access. Their driver board is a hat you can put on the Raspberry Pi, which we do here. You have the firmware, you have C++ Python libraries, and the support is implemented via state-of-the-art technology known as Discord, where you just pop in and ask a question and the guy from MJBots is just there and answers directly there. All right, so this took us to upkey wheeled bipeds, which are one way to apply these actuators and motor driver boards. And we wanted to make it as a wheeled biped. So it's kind of a in-between the mobile robot with a fixed base or the car and a humanoid robot. So you have, in less actuators, you have the problems from both worlds. So you need to balance. You need to balance because you have wheels. So if you don't do anything in your forward direction, in the sagittal direction, it's going to fall. So you have to do active balancing. So if you want to do research, you still have the same research questions that you need to solve for humanoids. But it's only six joints. So when it breaks, well, maybe you have to replace a motor. I mean, if it falls, it can fall on the ground and stand back up. We added the bumpers in one iteration, but even if you don't have the bumpers, it's okay. If it falls on you, okay, it's going to bruise you, but that's it. Happened in the past. And then, yeah, so it's kind of a small form factor, but it allowed us to do plenty of things. So the goals of the project was to be fully open source. So the hardware and electronics are open source already. We build on that, and then the software we build on top is also fully open source. These hybrid locomotion capabilities I mentioned, so worst of both worlds. We wanted it to be reproducible and accessible. So less parts, I mean, don't use too many actuators. Try to make it a bit easier so that people can build it. And then the two outcomes for us are education and research. So for education, we can use it as a way to teach model predictive control, so more on the control side, and also reinforcement learning, so the newer techniques. And we build on open source libraries for that. And then for the research also, it's something that's cheap for a research lab, but that allows you to run experiments with new technology. So I'm going to talk about the software first, and then Valentin and Etienne can show you more about the hardware.